All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is, what's today? November 7th, 2023. Another beautiful day here on the East Coast. Last week, they said it was over. The heat was over. Polar vortex was dropping down. Winter was here. It's warm this morning. Winter just can't quite get here yet. It'll get here. I'm sure of it. I'm positive. But it is absolutely gorgeous out today. I wear a big, I don't know, some wintry shirt, coat-like thing, and it's too hot. So, beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. It is Tuesday, back to work. Came to work, I forgot my iced coffee, and I forgot that I don't have anything to make iced coffee. So I'm on no coffee, and I'm sort of, sort of bummed out about it. I could really use some more coffee, so we'll have to work on that little project. But it is a work day, back to work, Tuesdays, long day of the week. Pretty busy today, in fact, pretty slammed. It's all right, we'll take care of it. We need to make the money. It is the Christmas season. Already feeling a little tension with the missus over money. Oh, don't tell anybody. I freaking hate Christmas. I absolutely hate it. It tests everything. What you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. You don't know what, if you loved me, you know what I'd want. It's fucking crazy. I'm already getting annoyed and it's only November. money, money, money. It's the root of all evil, but we will get through it like every year. Try to budget a little bit of money. We've done that. Still digging out from the last time we budgeted some money, so, you know, whatever, but could be worse. So it is Tuesday. I went to the meeting last night, went back to my original step meeting that I initially had started, and just because of the timing, my dad came over for dinner last night, and he hung out, and the meeting I went to last night was at 6:30. Great meeting on the second step, you know. Yeah, the second step. You know, before I get into that, it was interesting. I was watching, so I don't know. I started watching, every once in a while I'd watch something about alcoholism or recovery. And now my YouTube feed is all filled with a bunch of drunks. And I was watching, and I do find it interesting. I like to see how different people do it, right? Trying to figure out how to get sober. I watched a guy the other night who basically just white knuckled it, really. Didn't do any, had gone to a meeting, said that the old men at the old meeting at AA, they made fun of him. He didn't like that, so he didn't go back. I get that, I guess, right? I mean, I do get it. When we're new, we're very sensitive. I've never been to a meeting where old men laugh at a newcomer, but I'm sure that I or other people that are new could feel like they're laughing at me, right? Because I'm sensitive, right? Coming very super sensitive, right? So I don't know. Who knows? There's also, you know, I won't even say back in the day. It wasn't that long ago where people would come in and you know, if you met the right or the wrong old timer, you know, you could be told, sit down, shut up. You have nothing to offer. And that would hurt somebody's feelings. It would hurt my feelings. But it is reality, right? Sit down, shut up, and take the cotton out of your mouth, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth, right? There was all these different phrases. And because it was like, you've done it your way for a while, shut your mouth, sit down, and do it our way for a little bit. A lot of, including myself, nobody likes to hear that. I can't believe they would talk to me like that, right? Whatever. Anyway, here we are, and so on YouTube, you know, different people, just like me doing this podcast, right? Just another person out here trying to see if I can help in any way. I came across this lady, and her name was Claudia Christian. And she was on one of these, I forget what it is. It's one of these, you know, speaking engagements. It's not a TED Talk. I think it's a TEDx Talk. But she basically talks about, she is not an alcoholic. She suffers from AUD, which is alcohol use disorder, which I'd never heard of. And listen, I first when I started watching this last night, I was like, oh my God, this has got to be some bullshit. Right? And but what I have to remember is, listen, whatever works, right? It's the problem is we drink too much, right? And I guess that's the problem. I shared last night, my problem was I get caught too much. You know, if I just drank and didn't get caught, it would be different. But I drink, I get caught, and then I have to, you know, make excuses. And I got sick of that. So I'm an alcoholic who gets caught too much. But everybody has their own story. And this AUD, she's like, we don't call it alcoholism anymore because that's too broad and vague. AUD is a disease for people that drink and can't stop. And I was like, well, okay, what's the difference, right? But then she went into this whole story basically about how there's a technique for getting sober. And because apparently going through AA didn't work for her. And I get that too, right? It's not easy. It's fucking terribly hard, in fact. But she said that what they do in this program that they do is that you take a neuron blocker, I guess like if you were on opioids, and these neuron blockers, and don't listen, I am not, these are not the facts. This is just some dumb shit I gathered last night. Do not, you know, research it. AUD, Claudia Christian, she's on YouTube, Google it. But her suggestion was that you take this neuron blocker and you wait for an hour and then you have a drink. And you do this for 30 days, drinking to get sober. And she said that what the neuron blocker does is it blocks the neurons, right, that would come rushing out as soon as we have a sip of wine or whatever it is that we drink. And that's what sort of confirms that we enjoy drinking, right? Enjoy what we're doing. But when it blocks it, that doesn't happen, and we start to lose interest in alcohol. I mean, it sort of sounds, maybe it works. I don't know. But the problem that I had is that, you know, what happens to you after you stop drinking, right?
Everything's different. My head in the clouds. I hit this corner, my foot on the gas. I started sliding, I lose it. Everything's different, just like that.
Dave Matthews. So yeah, it is let's see. So last night, you know, I went to the meeting and it was on the second step. You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, when I first got sober, a lot of these steps just kind of went in one eye and out the other eye, one ear and out the other ear. And sort of just put a pin in it. I felt like I had done it. I'd worked with a sponsor. Went through it, had to sat down, read the step, had a conversation, felt like I had made a verbal agreement. I don't know. right? I fucking don't know. I just went through it, right? It seemed like I was doing the right thing. You know, I shared in the meeting last night, I was watching TV the other night, and there was this commercial, and it just showed like this pond and a sunset and this real scenic view. And then it said, talk to your doctor about getting a prescription for this. And I was like, well, I don't even think that the commercial said what the problem was, right? It was just beautiful scenery, and then talk to your doctor about getting a prescription for this. It didn't have, didn't even describe what you were being sick from, right? There was no, it's not like you had arthritis or, you know, emphysema or whatever it is that these commercials, big pharma commercials post. Didn't even say what the problem was. It just said, talk to your doctor. And, you know, that was one of the problems for me, I think, early on in recovery was really, I didn't know what my problem was. I mean, I knew what people had told me. I could see just by the effects, the repercussions of the things that I did, you know, what was pointing to maybe my problem was, which was, because if you were to ask me what my real problem was, is that I drank too much and I got caught at it, right? Because that's the problem. You know, if you'd ask me, you know, in the moment, I'd say, oh, I slipped. I don't know what happened. But the problem, my problem was I really didn't give a shit. I was a self-centered person. And I didn't have any God in my life. And I didn't give a shit. And so my real problem was I got caught at it. I wouldn't have changed my ways if I hadn't gotten caught again. Right? It was, you know, and this, the first time that I made the first attempt, it wasn't that I'd gotten caught at it. I got caught in a fight, right? And so whatever it was, but it wasn't that I was exhausted from drinking. I really liked drinking. I've said that before. If I could sit on the couch and drink vodka and watch SportsCenter all day, I probably would do that, but I don't do that. I hit the highways and the byways, and it's just a mess. And so when I first came in, I sort of identified myself one way and sort of treated my my program with that in mind, which was, of course I'm an alcoholic. Of course my life's unmanageable. Look at me. I got stitches and I wrecked cars and blah, blah. And then I would eventually go back out and drink. And so when I came back into the program, I had to really identify what I was. And that was that I was actually a self-centered person, right? And that I didn't have God in my life. I didn't have a humble belief, right? I just had me, what do I want? What am I going to get at whose expense, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. At the expense of my first wife, right? The expense of my second wife, or whatever it was, right? I'm going to do these things at the expense of my parents, and I don't care. That's what a self-centered person does. That's for me. We have to. Everybody has to kind of figure out. Yeah, I mean, I had to really take an honest look, because it's easy to just be an alcoholic that gets caught too much. That is not hard to. That's not a deep dive. They all tell you that. But to figure out that I was a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, that was a little bit painful and a little harder to figure out. But when I figured it out, I was like, oh, shit, right? And what makes you, you know, if you are, like, and I've said before, and I don't want to jump around too much. You know, what I also said last night was that these steps, you know, allow us to learn about our position in other steps. Like the third step. You know, the third step really was an eye-opening step for me in understanding the second step, right? And to understand the sixth step, right? Because I, when it says, you know, we turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, actions over the care of a higher power, to me that sounded so like I got to go to church. And like I said last night, you know, my life, it's almost like, you know, the third step is almost like starting to obey the law, right? You know, when I was younger, especially out in California, everything we were doing was some way illegal, right? Whether we were doing drugs, selling drugs, getting drugs, drinking and driving, partying, you know, whatever it is we were doing, it was probably lawful. It probably was not following the law. And it's sort of like the third step. You know, I've made a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions. Same thing with my, how I, you know, the law. You know, I broke the law a lot. And so due to that, I had a lot of repercussions, like go to jail, right? Get arrested, be on probation, fourth waiver, right? When you have to waive your fourth your amendment rights, you know, privacy. You know, when all that, when I had to do all that, that's because I lived that lifestyle. And that's what the third step was saying. You know, if we turn, if we make better thoughts, if we make better choices and we think better and our actions are better, our lifestyle is better. You know, today I don't worry about getting pulled over. You know, back in those days, it was always about, oh, there's a cop, right? Make sure we don't have anything stash and hide. And I had all these little hiding spots in my car up under the hood. It was fucking stupid, right? Because I lived a life in the darkness. And when I got sober, the first thing I started to do immediately, the first rule I stopped breaking was drinking and driving, right? When I was under the influence, I was a drunk driver. So I was constantly breaking the law. And due to that, I was having to worry about the law. And so when I got sober, that first thing stopped. I wasn't drinking and driving anymore. And that would be the first of many things, many behaviors I would change. You know, today when I drive down the road, I have no concern about a cop. You know, you see a cop, you wave, hey man, how are you? I don't give a shit. I'm not living that lifestyle anymore, right? And so, but it started to understand, you know, is there a power greater than me? Right? Is that because that when I came in the first time, I thought that meant there's just a God on the mountain. And I started to understand, at least for me, you know, everybody does their own thing, but I started to understand that a higher power and God and, you know, a power greater than ourselves are all, for me, a lifestyle, right? And if I live the right lifestyle, then I don't have a lot of fear, right? How can you have a humble relationship with something when you're full of self, right? When self seeks, humility does not exist. At least that's how I sort of look at it. If I'm seeking self, 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 you can't have humility. You can't, you don't get both, right? And I lived such a self-centered life that I was not available for humility, right? But when I started making these choices, these better choices, right? To me, those are humble decisions. That is the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. A lifestyle change can be the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. And I don't even know, you know, and this is for me, I don't even know if higher power, when they talk about higher power, that means that there's a higher power or that we can remove so much self-centered shit that we almost exist at a higher level. Right? You line up a few people, you know, and you need a certain job. Some people don't have certain skills for certain jobs, right? Some people don't have certain skills to live, right? To live a decent life. I didn't. You know, it was always about me. And so when I started to learn this other side of me, when I started to really identify really my issue, that I just am self-centered, I was like, oh, this has nothing to do with alcohol. This has nothing to do with alcohol. Put alcohol in me and I'm a mess. Up until that point, this has nothing to do with alcohol. This is about my spirituality, right? And so it's just, I watched this lady do this presentation and she, you know, I would imagine, I always figured that people that have problems with Alcoholics Anonymous are because they don't like the religion part. And, or I shouldn't say religion part, they don't like the spiritual side of it. I think a person coming in new immediately thinks it's the religion part. But it's really just, and like I heard this guy say, it's really a spiritual adjustment, right? We're spiritually misaligned, right? We need a good God crack. And when I started to understand that, it really changed this whole program for me. And it stopped being about alcohol and really started teaching me just about trying to be a human being, really how to be a man, right? How to be a man amongst men, a helper, a worker. Right? The best person that I can be. And when you do this, and this AUD, alcohol use disorder, right? Who would come up with that, right? The devil. We're not going to call it alcoholism. We're going to call it a different name. Whatever. I mean, principles over personalities. These are personality choices here. Let's call it an AUD. And this chick was doing a speech, and she was written a book. You know, this was her... You know, her new claim to fame, she wanted to make, I guess she's making money, right? So I guess it's really the only way. You can't go around and make money doing lectures about Alcoholics Anonymous, I guess. I don't think you can. But I don't know. I don't make any money. So, but the fact that her suggestion was that you take this pill, which blocks the neurons, and then after 1 hour, then you have the drink. And I'm like, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Drinking to get sober. And she's like, I lost the desire to drink through this 30-step program. So for 30 days, you take a pill, you wait an hour, and then you have a drink. Oops. And according to her, it's like you don't even want the drink. It's almost like you have to force the drink down. Ugh. I was like, wow. But that seems super dangerous to me. That seems really super dangerous. You know, but listen, to each his own, right? The path is the path. And my first try at AA didn't work. But it allowed me to sort of see me a little differently. It allowed me to step back and really kind of see who I am, right? Not a victim, right? About it being accountable. Accountability is, to me, one of the biggest things, I learned through this program is about being accountable. You know, take responsibility for your actions. That way you at least know what your problem is. You can make adjustments and try not to do it again. I don't think this AUD, take the pill and have a glass of wine program talks about that. Right? Because listen, a lot of people come into a program and quit drinking. It's really, I'm not going to say it's easy, but I see it happen a lot. A lot of people come in, you know, it usually takes an embarrassing moment, some humiliating moment, some ego deflating, devastating humiliation that makes us become willing, right? And a person comes in and they get a little time. Usually there's a court case or something, whatever it is, that motivates them, but they get a little time, right? But once the dust settles, right, and the court cases are over and the pain ends and the stitches heal and the arguments, you know, fade, the disease shows back up. And the disease is very cunning. And she, this lady, Claudia Christian, she even talked about it. She called it the monster. I call it the devil. She called it the monster. And the monster comes back. But she didn't really have a solution for the monster because the monster never goes away. The monster is part of us. Or it's the least part of me. And doesn't really explain how you take care of the monster in this take the pill and have a drink process. So, you know, I'm not going to say that it doesn't work because I really have no idea. I know that if you have a drinking problem and you can find something that helps you not drink on it for one day at a time, do it, right? Whether it's a program, AA program, this program that this lady talks about, Claudia Christian. And if you're interested in something like that, you can go on YouTube and check it out and listen to her. It is interesting because I personally feel the only way to get sober is Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the only way. I feel it's and you know, it's so much more than that. You know, I came to the program to get sober, right? I didn't realize all of the cool things that I would learn about being a human being and continue to use in my life today, right? And really, for me, it's just about the removal of fear. And I don't live in fear today. I have inconveniences, right? I have problems that pop up, but I'm not in fear. You know, there is nothing that I am afraid of because, you know, luckily with this program, I've learned how to make better choices in my life. I've learned how to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power, right? And that doesn't mean go to church. That just means for me, at least, obeying the law, right? Living in the obeying the law side of the line instead of the other side, which is not obeying the law, right? So I try to obey the law of the land and of God, right? So there's nothing that's going to come my way that's that scary. And if it does, I have to take a look at it. What's going on? Why are you so scared? What's the problem? And for the most part, I can whittle it all away and figure it out. Does it mean that it's just, you know, I do nothing? No. Sometimes it requires I have to do work and dig in and figure it out and find humility and beg for forgiveness or whatever it is. But there is a solution, and I can usually solve it within a 24-hour period. I don't have to take it to tomorrow. I don't know if that pill drink process works with that. Because that is the problem. You know, I came into this program the first day I solved the drinking problem. I wasn't drinking after one day. That was my problem. The rest is voluntary. I mean, it's all voluntary. My buddy shared last night, did a great job. Excuse me. And, you know, but he talked about we have to do this. And I said, we do not have to do this. This is not required. This is voluntary. The more requirement, the harder it is. I've been here under not voluntary. I've been here when it's been required or demanded. Never worked. You know. When I didn't have to, when I decided that I got to, right, that I get to, and I get to learn from this and take what I can from it, it was a whole different program. Whole different thing. Awesome. All right. Let me... Claudia Christian on YouTube. Go check her out. It's funny. There's a lot of different ways of getting sober. And I've always said it's probably because people don't want to do the spirituality part, which is a shame, right? It's just a shame. But the devil is strong. I'll just say that. All right. Let me see here. Daily reflections. Let go and let God. Well, that's appropriate. There you go. All right. November 7th. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. All right. 12 steps, 12 traditions. When I let go and let God, I think more clearly and wisely. Without having to think about it, I quickly let go of things that cause me immediate pain and discomfort. Because I find it hard to let go of the kind of worrisome thoughts and attitudes that cause me immense anguish. All I need to do during those times is allow God, as I understand him, to release them for me. And then and there, I let go of the thoughts, memories, attitudes, and are troubling me. When I receive help from God, as I understand him, I can live my life one day at a time and handle whatever challenges come my way. Only then can I live a life of victory over alcohol and comfortable sobriety. Yeah, I mean, you know, a self-centered person doesn't want to pray. I only say that because I'm that guy. Self-centered people don't want to pray because unless I'm getting something, I have no interest. And to pray and to God for things that there's zero return, at least not for my life. And so early on, I was like, I don't care. And what I've learned is I don't get anything. I don't ask for anything when I pray. I let go. My prayer, I've said it before. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I'm not the guy. You're whatever. You're much more than I am. And I'm going to let you handle it. And that is a humble act. That's an act in more towards the law, right? Or you could say, go to hell, God. You never help me. You never fix this. That is not in the light. That is in the darkness. And that would be how I used to think about it. But today, with faith, right, with grace, I say, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I am turning this over to you, and I'm letting you take care of it. And sometimes I have to say it over and over and over and over and over again because self is so wound. And that's a good way to deflate self is just start praying and recognizing that God is great. And hopefully it'll all work out. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. Back to work today. You know, these steps are amazing. First three steps, you know, are so key. But like I said, I sort of had to put a pin in those three and come back to them, right? You know, I had to get that moral inventory. I had to sit down with the person to share my deepest, darkest secrets. I had to sit down and do a character, you know, work on my character, my shortcomings. Right? Once I went through a lot of those steps, I started to understand who the real Tom was. And then I could kind of go back and take a look at that third step, you know, and realize, oh, I sort of understand a little bit more, and then start understanding the second step, and then start realizing, you know, that first step, when we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives would become unmanageable. You know, it starts to be a different thing. And, you know, I don't think you can find that by having a pill and the drink thing. So, I don't know. Later.